Thank you for joining with us another Monday morning around the Word of God in our daily devotional. We appreciate you taking the time to be with us today. And so we want to turn once again, as we have been doing these last number of Mondays, to look at some questions that are posed to us in the Word of God. And I want us to turn again this morning to Romans chapter 8. And last week we looked at a question that the Apostle Paul asked in Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? I want us to start reading it, verse 31, and read to the end of the chapter. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we know the Lord will bless the reading of his word. And as you go down through that little passage from the question we looked at last week, if God be for us, who can be against us? There's a number of little questions asked there. Big questions, I suppose, would be a better way to put it, asked there. And he answers them as he goes. In verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. And there you have God justifying the sinner. And because God has justified the sinner, he is beyond condemnation. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And then in verse 34 it says, and who is he that condemns? Well, we're beyond condemnation because God has justified us and freed us from judgment. And then who is he that condemns? So who's going to condemn us? Christ has died for us. It says here, for it's Christ that has died, yea rather, that is risen again. And he died for our sins and has been raised again for our justification. And therefore, he is now at the right hand of God and he makes intercession for us. He pleads on our behalf. So there's no one who can lay anything to our charge or condemn us because of the continuing work of Christ on our behalf. But then, that's this question in verse 35 that I want us to consider this morning. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And I want us to think this morning on the love of Christ and who can separate us for it. That's the question that's asked here. And you know, Christ's love for his church it's an amazing study, but just very briefly, just a few wee headings for you to think about throughout the day. As you think of your standing in our Lord Jesus Christ, just to think of the love that Christ has for you and for me. You know, first of all, I want us to say it's an eternal love. And that's what we have in Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. God's love for us, Christ's love for us, it didn't begin whenever we turned in repentance and sought his mercy and his salvation. It didn't start there. It started in eternity. We looked last week at that verse in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, where it says there that he chose us in Christ before, or from the foundation of the world, before the world was even made, we were in the mind of God. We were in the heart of Christ. And it's an everlasting, it's an eternal love. With an everlasting love, it says there in Jeremiah 31 and 3. It's a love that never ends. That love that God has for us in Christ. It is an eternal love. It's an everlasting. In 1 John 4 and says, verse 9, it says, we love him because he first loved us. God's love for us is not a response to our love for him, but our love for God is a response for the love that he has for us. And so you see this morning, it's an eternal love. But it's more than that, it's a sacrificial love. You know that verse in John 3 and 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And isn't that a wonderful statement of the love of God? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I hope that everyone who's watching us this morning here is able to put themselves into that position. I hope that you have made or availed yourself of that love that is spoken of here, and that you have responded to the love of God in Christ for you, that he died in Calvary for our sins. He died for your sins, dear friend, this morning. And if you have never come and trusted in our Savior, in the one who has done that for you, if you've never trusted in the finished work of Calvary, then I would urge you today to come to Christ. He loves you. He died to save you. And oh, that you might return that love to him this morning, trusting in that finished work, trusting in the blood to cleanse from sin, and come savingly to him. As a sacrificial love, he so loved the world. Galatians 2 and 20, the end of that verse, it says, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, dear child of God, there is no love like the love of God in Christ for you. There's no love, there's no human love can compare, because he loved you and he gave himself for you. Do you know the reality of that love this morning? Are you living in the good of it? Whenever you look around and see the hatred and strife and all that's going on around us in this evil world, isn't it good to be able to look towards heaven and see there the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me? In Romans 5 and 8, it says this, but God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And there at Calvary you have the full expression of the love of God for sinners. The love of God for you and me. But it's a challenging love. 1 John 4 verse 11 says this, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And in the 7th verse of the same chapter, he says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. You see, because of God's love for us, then we ought to love. Yea, we love our brothers and sisters in Christ with a godly love. We have a concern for their welfare, not only physically but spiritually, as we try to encourage each other along the way to heaven and home in a world that's against us. We ought to love one another in Christ. And so it challenges us today as to our attitude towards our brothers and sisters in Christ. How do you look upon them? How do you respond to them? That's a challenging love. But what we want to see this morning finally as an enduring love. Those verses that we read together, especially the verses from 35 to 39, he says, "But who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" Goes through the things of time, the temporal things that can be against us, the things that can distress us as we look around and some of our brothers and sisters are going through times of great tribulation and stress. Some of them are going through deep persecution even at this time. There never was a time in history when the Church of Jesus Christ has been more persecuted. We in the Western world know nothing of it. But there's countries in the world today where men and women are still being put to death because of their faith in Christ. They're being thrown into prison and forgotten about in many ways because of their love for Christ. And you see, these things can't separate them from the love of Christ. Even in the deepest trials, they find that Christ is with them. Speaks of famine or nakedness. That word nakedness there has to do with the inability to provide for their daily needs. Famine or nakedness or peril or sword. The things of time. But then there's nothing in time that can separate us from the love of Christ. There's nothing in the spiritual realm either, because it says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So you see that there's nothing in time, there's nothing throughout eternity that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Remember hearing a speaker one time, it was at our missionary weekend a number of years ago. A good number of years ago now, and he said a thing and it struck me at the time. I knew it, you know, inside, but I never really had thought about it in this way. And he said something that really blessed my soul. He said, "There's nothing I can do today to make God love me more, nor anything I can do that would make him love me less. The love of God is constant. And it is eternal. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Dear brother and sister, live in the good of that today. When things are getting you down, remember that there's nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That lovely hymn, "The Love of God," the last verse says, "Could we with ink the ocean fill, and where the skies of parchment made, where every stroke on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above, would drain the ocean dry, nor can the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, how you displayed it in him, through him. And Father, we thank you today for that love that took him to Calvary to die for our sins. Help us to love others as you have loved us. Throughout this day, Father, may we show it to them by our actions, by our words, by the things that we do for them. And help us, Lord, to love you in a way that is fitting as a response to the love you have shown to us. Be with us now, Lord, today. And bless us because we ask it in our Saviour's worthy name. Amen.